this is something that's evolving in, right. in your senior management discussion at the moment.
Right.
How is that different from a year ago?
I think a year ago we were trying to sort out what we were and what we were going to be. We had a lot of historical perceptions of the company and what its role and mission was. And a lot of that we were being forced to re-examine in light of what was happening in the market. And the idea that, you know, we could come to the conclusion that the disk drives aren't fundamental. I mean, they might be a great business. And in the past, we probably would have said we should be in the business and just stayed in it. But fundamentally, there was no compelling reason to it, and we could see better opportunities elsewhere. You know, instead of putting the investment in disk drives, let's put the investment in subsystems or adapters or networking or hubs or something where we have capability beyond most people. And my view is we need to understand where we as a corporation have strengths and capabilities that other people only dream of having and focus on those and walk away from things that other people can do just as well as we can. Mm-hmm. Because that's not fundamental to being successful in the market as I see it emerging. So we're just in the process of, you know, sorting through that, like the contract manufacturing. It is a good business for some people. We sold to a company that's very good at it. It isn't fundamental at all to what we're doing. But well, there's a lot of things that we were into that we had never taken this really hard, cold look at and saying, is this fundamental to what we can propose to the customer in terms of our value proposition? What is it, you know, when we answer the question, why digital? Well, certainly it's not because we have contract manufacturing. Well, certainly not because we built this right. Mm-hmm. But it might be because we know more about networking than anybody else out there. We have this vision of the internet, the individual enterprise, and how it's all going to fit together and how we can provide capabilities and services and products. In my view, the only products that we should really be in are the ones where we can really deliver a product with an edge. If we can't, I don't see the value of being in it. So there's that.
So, in terms of the sort of top management review, where do you see that going, and what are the sort of consequences when it does sort of emerge?
The thing that it will do is provide a context, because you can't. In my judgment, you can't sit down today and say you know where everything is going to be in 3 years from today. That's impossible. It's moving way too fast. But what you need to do is have a context to find about what you're all about, and then within that context, you can continually re-examine the implications of the change that's going on around you, whether it's in the market or the technology or the convergence of the two. And so it'll provide us this context, I think, to keep re-examining and refreshing our own view of where we're going in a tactical sense. And today, I think the race will be won by those who are flexible and agile. I mean, the days of other attributes being more important are gone. It's flexibility, it's agility, it's time to market. It's the guy that gets their first captures two-thirds of what's available. And so you've got to understand that and be ready to play that game. And if you can't bring something else, you might as well not focus on it. It doesn't add anything to what your value is. Mm-hmm.
So as you refine away from wherever you were 6 months ago or whatever, come down to a sort of more cohesive view of the company, it sounds like you're focusing more on this networking as the company as opposed to servers
or something. Yeah.
Something.
Yeah, not that servers won't be important, because we can bring things there and we can differentiate ourselves around, say, leveraging our alpha architecture and capability of that vis-a-vis somebody who doesn't have that yet or who may not be there. And so I think those are the things we're looking at, where these leverage points are, where the things that we can do very well that perhaps many others can't do as well. How do we leverage those strengths and capabilities in this context of where this market is going? And that will define where we play.
So what are the consequences? Let's say tomorrow you decided, or I guess, I don't know, whatever, maybe you have already decided, networking things into the focus. But what are the consequences? Does that mean you're going to start replaying with your investment?
Absolutely. I think, and what you saw when you talked to Bill Strecker was some of the areas that we're probing around the internet and mobile computing and the video and interactive information services. Those are those, and I think what you'll see start to evolve from those thrusts is an emerging set of alliances that allow us to do extensions in those areas that are the new growth opportunities as we look forward. So you'll start to see some alliances emerge of all the people that where we bring something very good and they bring something that allows us to leverage a market opportunity. So I think that's the other major change, the fundamental change that has taken place within digital. In the old days it was really focused on doing everything ourselves. And so we spent a lot of engineering dollars replicating what somebody else had already done reasonably well. I think today you see a much stronger focus on doing those things where we can be the leaders and where there's some good people out there and we can't see an edge that we can bring to it, just partner with them and use them to help us address the market opportunities.
But just lay out for me a little bit, at least to give me a flavor of what. So let's say that, you know, instead of being a whatever client server company or a,
a client
commodity hot box company or whatever, you know, that you sort of embrace this broader vision of networking as the key strength. But what does that mean in terms of where you, you know, put your dollars, your investment dollars? What does it mean in terms of, what are the consequences of that?
Consequences start to evolve around flow of investment and partnerships and alliances. And it depends on where you think it's all going to go. Doesn't mean we won't continue to do PCs and servers and alpha-based workstations because there's good market opportunities and we do think we can bring something there. But I'm starting to talk 3 to 5 years out or 7 years out. And if you start to think about it, you know, the PDAs so far have not been successful. And in one dimension, it's because they did deliver what the promise was.
Mm-hmm.
But as the technology is coming along, the promise of being delivered is getting a lot closer. You start to combine that with mobile computing or with this idea of having large servers and networks of servers available so that you can have access anywhere, anytime, to any data you want, anywhere. That starts to open up opportunities around, well, how do you get from a mobile device back into a network, through a couple of networks, and you start to talk about something we call secure tunnels. How do you get your link that's secure, and how do you handle the firewalls and the encryption? It starts to talk about the service that you can provide to somebody. It's almost, I think we're approaching the point, and I can't tell you exactly when it will happen, that the value is not in the device, but in the functionality of the device in terms of what you can do with it. And so you get to move away from a pure hardware focus as the real value and focus more on what it enables you to do, and you get a much different set of economics that way, much more attractive set of economics. So I mean, that's kind of the thinking as we go forward and see what we can do. And I think that's going to be the next big sea change in this industry. And it's not there yet, but I think we're positioning ourselves well and in terms of anticipating it, as well as having areas where we can bring really, really great products to market. We'll continue to do that. Yeah, we'll continue to do that because there is a market there, and these things hang on these networks. So if you can have, you know, a leadership product or an appliance, as I call it, that can hang on the network, there's good business to be had there. But it won't be necessarily the total focus of what we're doing. It's just an adjunct to the focus of what we're doing. So it's kind of a flip-flop almost.
Yeah, maybe I'm not familiar. Sort of like I feel like I'm on the cusp of some understanding here, but I'm not quite there. Maybe you can just elaborate a little bit. So what are the consequences over the next 2 or 3 years, you know, in terms of do you put much more emphasis on networking software, hardware, hubs and routers and all that stuff versus PCs and more commodity type products that anybody can buy?
I think what you'll see is that
I don't quite understand what the consequences of that decision are.
Well, I think the consequences will play out as you look at the relative opportunities. Now, PCs are ubiquitous, they're clients in many different permutations. So that's probably an important place to be, frankly. You might, and I don't want to talk about other potentials, but the disk drive was a good example of where you don't have to be. Now, we were good at that. We were actually had gone from 0 to 3rd in the market, leadership in price and performance and capacity. So you can make a strong argument we should be in the disk drive business. But on a relative sense, it was not as attractive as some of the other investment opportunities that we had. And so the conclusion was, no, let's sell it, okay? Now, there were people who said, we shouldn't sell it. It's a good business, it's growing, but there's at least 6 or 8 people out there who can do it well already. And so for us, it wasn't a fundamental thing to do. I would rather take that money and invest it in mobile computing or wireless or another dimension to our networking products or to get into internet-based software or to talk about new, and I just spent some time at one of our research labs last week looking at some product opportunities, which I won't talk about because we think they're pretty exciting, with this whole new idea of access devices. Mm-hmm. A PDA is a kind of an access device, but this is not a PDA I'm talking about. But you've got the PC, and then you had the laptop, and you had the notebook, and you got the sub-notebook PDA, but there's other kinds of access devices. And the key is the service opportunities only grow as you make access seamless and easy. And so our thinking is that the devices that might have more opportunity are access devices, rather than devices that are less flexible or less accommodative of trying to get and use all this information and services that are being made available. So I think we're always going to be in a position of re-looking at the kinds of businesses we're in and where the investments ought to be. And again, one of the hard looks that we take at is what we can bring somehow and give us an edge versus what we can get out there. We won't do it just to do it. Or we won't do it just because we can do it. But we'll do it because nobody else can quite do it as well as we can. That's sort of the defining factor in terms of these investment streams. And it's not in the context of today's market, but it's in the context of tomorrow's market. Today's market, we want to be fighting the last war. It's over. The victorious people, you know who they are. We're going to fight the next one now, given that mm-hmm. there's a lot of shift taking place in what the next one's going to be all about. Mm-hmm.
So does that, maybe I'm reading too much into that, but what you seem to be saying is that you're going to be de-emphasizing some of the areas we now have.
We could. I can't tell you which ones they'll be, but I'm using the disk drive as an example of the decision process. And we could relook at some things and say, why do we want to be in these businesses? If our advantage or ability to differentiate is marginal, then my position, I'm speaking of Charlie Cook, my position, unless there's some other fundamental compelling reason that we shouldn't do it, we should not put our management attention units and our engineering people and our resource stream to do that. We should not do that. That doesn't do anything for us or for our success in the market. Let's partner with somebody and work with them, take advantage of what they've done. And let's begin to do things that other people can't do nearly as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that is in a lot of the networking, hardware and software. I think it has a lot to do in our storage areas, our systems area, leveraging Alpha with its 64-bit and its performance attributes. That gives us a capability that few people have right now, and it's not clear to me where they're going to get it in the future either.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like things like, although you want to be a player in something like PCs or printers, you won't necessarily have a huge product edge there or put most of the dollars there.
Yeah. If you can't have a real edge, either in a market sense or in a product sense, then to me, I'm not speaking for myself, but to me it doesn't make a lot of sense. Versus putting the money and the attention in those areas where we can bring a real edge in our products to the marketplace, which gives us a competitive edge, gives us a margin edge, and gives us an edge in terms of our partners' mind share because they can keep more margin for themselves if they got a product edge that's clearly there and they can articulate well, what it is. Those are the things I think that will lead us to our success.
So when do you think there's going to be
aping somebody else's business model is not the answer to digital. It doesn't leverage what we're good at. It doesn't take advantage of the kinds of things we can do that people can't do. So why do that?
You make money on it.
Well, but you see, a lot of times you don't. Take the PC business. No more than a couple people make real serious money there. There's 15 or 18 or 20 major competitors worldwide. You get past number three, there's not a whole lot of black ink flowing anywhere. IBM lost $1 billion last year in the PC business. $10 billion business, and they lost $1 billion. Just being there, doesn't mean you're going to make money because of the nature of that competitive market and what it takes to be successful there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when I look at the relativeness of some of these things is the key in my mind. Relatively, I believe I can make more money in network than I could make in disk drives because of the inherent nature of the disk drive market and the kind of engineering and technical content that's there versus the kind of margins that are there. It's a relative issue. Now, if you're in the disk drive business, then it's obvious you're going to, that's your whole reason for being. But if you've got choice, which we do, why make those choices versus the choices that are, you know, provide more opportunity?
So does that mean that digital really needs to be a, you know, a $13 billion business, and it can't be an $8 billion business and be more successful in some ways? In other words, you know, just say, let's look, we're not going to be a market leader in X or Y.
You could follow that strategy. I don't believe it is our strategy, but you could follow that strategy. my belief is, what I like to see is that when you go through these things, you kind of have, you have, you know, declining markets, and you have growing markets, and ideally you'd like to prop this one up like this, and prop this one up like that, and so that this is the curve of the sum of the two. And this is what I would look at in terms of success for digital. So we have some things that are declining, but we can prop those up. We have other growth opportunities that you want to move up even greater, and the result is coming from a $13 billion base to a base that's much higher. I think if you look at most companies who have gone through the turnarounds that we have, very few have been able to hold the revenue and then start to grow it. Most of them go,
I don't think you want to emulate Unisys.
No, I'm not saying we're emulating them, but they're a company that went the other way, is my point. They decided to back off, to cut down. They dropped from, I don't know, 12 billion or something to 8, I can't, you know, and they said, we're going to focus on some things. But it hasn't really worked. I mean, they keep cutting. And we have been able to.
Data General.
Yeah, Data General. I mean, there's a whole list of people that have not been able to do it. They've gone down and they can't get back up. We have held. And I think now we're positioning ourselves for the growth. And that's the difference. So I wouldn't say no, the plan should become to be 13. I see 13 billion as the base that we've got, that we've been holding and building on. And now I envision the growth starting to occur as we have a much more focused and fully thought out strategy about where we are, who we are, what we can do, and where we want to go with that. Mm-hmm. And so I see this kind of thing happening. And what we've done is you know, been successful holding the base and increasing it, and then starting to bring products to new markets and through new channels. And so that's something where the growth is coming from.
So what are the engines of growth? What's going to be driving?
I think it moves over time. I think we will continue to see our PC business grow. I think our server business will represent a major opportunity as the continuation, the resumption of the transition away from mainframes continues. I think people were on that track. They kind of stopped for a while. They consolidated the mainframes that were left. There will always be some mainframes, but then I think the trend's going to continue again. I think we will be extremely well positioned for that continuation because it's the combination of the servers that we have and the networking that we have, because that's the key. And the service really gives us another edge. So it's the servers and networking and the service capability, because most of the people have found that as they've gone through this client-server transition has been a lot harder than they thought it was, and they needed some help, and we can give them that help. And we have the product leadership in these spaces on top of what we know about systems engineering. So I think we're going to see growth there. I think in storage, you're going to continue to see a lot of growth, because people see storage as becoming a huge, the important part of these capabilities in terms of requirements that are being placed on storage systems. The networking area obviously will grow dramatically. I think our software strategy that we've just started to articulate is going to be very attractive to a lot of people, because it shows how they don't have to make life or death decisions today, but they can migrate. I'm a great believer in the idea of providing customers with migration paths over which they are in control. And because of the independent investments that they have in place and their ability to absorb technology change, you've got to give them migration paths over which they have control in terms of the rate or the pace with which they want to buy into the benefits of new technology. And if you look at StorageWorks, if you look at Envision, if and look at our service badging. I mean, that's what we are bringing to the market and emphasizing with a lot of people. And, and that's resonating very well with a lot of people in the market, because it's a real challenge if you're a CIO, is how to manage all this. If you're a land manager, how do I manage this? And then as you start to see people growing by acquisition, they wake up and find they've got this huge dog's breakfast of stuff all over the place in terms of different people's hardware, different people's software. How do you bring all that together? I think we're very good at that, in both in the networking area and in the systems integration, systems engineering capability. We can help them sort their way through that and give them a plan that can be implemented over a period of years without a lot of forklift upgrades, and that's what they're looking for. Right, we got it.
What, is there anything that, you know, you consider still a key weakness of the company, or anything that worries you about how this nice little curve could suddenly go the other direction?
The thing I worry about the most is people, be careful how I word this. Sometimes when it starts to come around, it starts to get obvious that it's coming around, people sort of say, oh, it's over, I can relax a little bit. It'll never be over. And it will be a continuous process of renewal, given, I think, what's happening in the marketplace and in technology. And the idea that it's never going to be over is one that people have to embrace and understand, that continual change is the only constant in this business and in this industry. And the kinds of things that we've been doing for the last few years in the context of turnaround have to continue to be done into the future to support a continuing stream of success. That's the thing I would do.
People within the company.
Really internalizing, understanding that there's been a fundamental change and that the past isn't coming back and the old digital isn't coming back. It's a real transformation. We are not what we used to be, and we are not yet what we must become. And people have to understand that process is a continuum.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you very much.
Okay, good.
Very interesting.
Thank you.
Mark, any additional questions?